You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Howdy, Dream Cowboys.
Welcome, everybody. Oh, it's the HBO boys. It's a full docket today. Lots of people talking about a movie with lots of characters. It's The Suicide Squad, not Suicide Squad. That's a bad movie. You stick a the on there, it's a good movie. This is the James Gunn version, starring everyone in the world. I'm James, that was Ryan, and we also have Adam and Chad.
Hello.
Hi.
It does star everyone in the world.
I know, it's star-studded.
And the, just right off the bat, the advertising of this really made you think that like half of the cast would be in more than 5 minutes of the movie.
I was angry. I was very angry.
Did anyone else feel anger?
I was
cheated.
You
like, that's funny.
I like Captain Boomerang.
I like
Flula. He's fucking dead now.
No, I know. He's very dead.
I can't believe they had the guts to, like, put Nathan Fillion's name, like, in the trailer.
He was one of the only ones who was, at the end, not deceased on screen, just critical condition, so TDK might be coming back.
Oh, boy. Detachable arm guy?
The detachable kid.
Ugh, yeah. So weird. So many weird heroes in this franchise.
Before we keep going, patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. For $1 or more a month, you can hear the stuff that we record before the recordings. We did it before this, about Woodstock 99, the documentary that's on HBO. And you can hear a bunch of extra bonus content. The third episode of Talkie Boys Radio Hour went up recently. It was up on the Patreon before that. And there's a bunch of stuff up there. And now I would be honored to get back to our roots and get an old school James recap, baby.
Well, really quick, we should talk about the context that they fired James Gunn from Guardians of the Galaxy. So he's like, well, fuck you. I'm going to go work for DC and I'm going to take Michael Rooker with me.
For 5 minutes.
And the day after he got the job for The Suicide Squad, he got rehired at Disney because they were like, oh, shit.
He brought a bunch of actors with him. It wasn't just him, because like Mantis was one of the dancers at the bar, and what's his name, who's in all of James Gunn's
his brother. His brother, yeah. Was the Weasel.
Sean Gunn. Yeah, Gunn, yeah,
but he was also just in the movie.
Also Sylvester Stallone, who he had to be like. I read the conversation. He was like, hey, do you want to be a shark? And Sylvester Stallone was like, anything for you, buddy.
Yeah, he played Killer Croc. I mean, right, King Shark.
That was a good joke. I liked it.
Well, I wish my brother were a famous Hollywood movie maker so that I could do like these really easy parts.
How like, dare
just be
you?
A dead weasel.
He didn't die. He comes back to life at the end. Spoiler alert.
I know.
And when he comes back alive, it's under a full moon,
yeah.
Which is a callback to
a werewolf.
Pete Davidson's Blackguard being like, are you fucking werewolf?
He died very quickly, too.
If you remember the original 2016 Suicide Squad, the first act of that movie is just the movie starting again, and then it starts again, and then it starts again.
there's the thousand beginnings to that movie, as they introduce each character who gets their own little, like, montage and scene, as they, Amanda Waller is having, like, a conversation expositing in a cafe, and it's just horrible. And that was, like, one of the worst setups in movie history. James Gunn literally does the setup in, like, basically a minute. He goes, Amanda Waller shows up to Michael Rooker's jail cell, and he's like, we're doing a suicide squad. It's a team of bad guys. If you don't do my orders, I kill you. It's going to be a very dangerous mission. Let's go. Oh, you're on the plane now. Get ready.
You know, what I just realized, I thought I remembered Suicide Squad, and then what you just described, I realized I remember nothing about the first Suicide Squad.
It's a very forgettable movie. That's why.
You blocked, I remember a guy it. Turns into a giant, like, devil man. That's yeah, it.
You blocked it out of your mind's eye. But also, this movie does have the advantage of coming after the David Ayer outing, where people understand the context while watching it, that they had another one, they did every person's origin story for the first third of the movie, that was obviously shitty, one of the main reasons the pacing was so terrible, and James Gunn, while watching it, must have just been like, oh, I'll just, like, really ram this home first minute and then spread out. I mean, like, Ratcatcher 2's origin story happens with like 30, 35, 40 minutes left of the movie, and it's right. like heartbreaking and almost made me fucking cry.
Yeah, well, he decided to make a movie during his movie time. You know, like, he decided to focus on the movie and not focus on the setup.
Mm. And Will Smith isn't in it. He had scheduling conflicts.
All right, Idris Elba is great.
I heard that they didn't want to make a new Deadshot on the off chance that Will Smith might want to come back. They didn't want to, like, lose that actor and his name.
Of course, so
they
just, not.
They Why just would swapped you? In an identical version of Deadshot.
Right.
Which is better.
You think this movie is better off with Idris Elba over Will Smith?
Yes.
It would have made more money if Will Smith was in it.
I think that, like, Will Smith definitely has charisma. No one can argue against that.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But I think, I think that Idris Elba, I think that his charisma matched the tone of the movie better.
Yes, I agree.
Idris Elba should be the next Bond. It's not going to happen because
I want it.
But, like,
I want it so badly.
Idris Elba is going to be Knuckles in the next Sonic movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's, like, the same thing.
Yeah, totally.
It's James Bond.
So this is like Team A, Suicide Squad Team A, and we have a few familiar faces here. We have Jai Courtney as Mr. Boomerang, Boomerang Man.
Captain Boomerang. He's a captain.
Yeah. As well as Joel Kinnaman is back as Rick Flagg, but, like, doing the role completely different, like, doing it good this time.
He's fun now.
Like, Joel Kinnaman is a good actor, and David Ayer's just fucked him with a terrible script. and James Gunn, like, brought him back to life.
Was he dead?
No.
His career in the DCEU was.
Yeah.
Oh.
Right. They made him... Like, I don't think I'm never going to go back and watch the first Suicide Squad, but I don't know how many laugh lines, like, purposeful laugh lines Rick Flagg got in the first one, but he had a bunch in the second one, and he was a character that I wanted to succeed in the second one, and in the first one, you forgot he was in it the moment it ended.
Yeah, in the first movie, he's just, like, stoic army man. He's not funny at all. He's nothing like he is in this movie.
He just is.
So, do you think that at the beginning of this movie, they had the A-team go in, and they had the characters that we recognized from the first Suicide Squad movie? Do you think that they killed them off to kind of represent, like, the forget about the last team, we're moving on? Was that supposed to be, like, a metaphor?
Mm. Or that this is real?
No, I think it was just subverting expectations of the advertising, and also a way to be like, well, they're also disrespecting Harley Quinn. Why is she on this team and not the other one? And also, by the way, you thought these people would be in the movie? Nah, dude.
It's kind of like what they did with Endgame, where they made it seem like they were all going to, like, team up and go find Thanos.
Yeah,
and
no.
Then they decapitate him in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
I mean, it's a twist, right? It's an M. Night Shyamalan ding-dong, Invincible-esque twist, just, you know, better
than
most.
In the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah, right. In the first 5 minutes.
You know, I was reading something on Reddit. They were talking about this movie, and a lot of, like, super DC fans were, like, pissed that these characters were dead in the first 10 minutes. People were like, yeah, I walked out 40 minutes in. Like, I just didn't want to watch it anymore.
Oh, my God. A person who has to write, like, type out.
I wouldn't go that far.
No, like, who cares about that stupid idiot? I walked out of the movie.
A lot of people agreed with him.
Nobody gives a shit.
They were upset that people died in the first 10 minutes, so they left at 45
minutes.
Well,
yeah, like, you know, thinking to give it a chance, but then they were like, eh, I was really expecting it to be something different, and then they just went into it.
Not enough boomerangs.
Yeah, I wanted a boomerang, man, too. Come on, those boomerangs are sick.
Anyway, James, continue. Or I guess start.
The setup of the mission that they're on is that this Central American island nation ruled by a brutal dictatorship, but they were pro-America, so everything was cool. But now there's been a military coup, and now America's not so sure about certain secret assets that they have on the island, and so they want the Suicide Squad to go in and destroy it, and destroy any trace of America's meddling here. So very bleak and very cynical picture of America's role in the world already, and I really appreciated that, actually.
If this movie was made in, like, the 1950s or 60s, the writers and directors would have been followed by the FBI for the next decade as, like, dissenters and communists.
As soon as they arrive on the island, they are immediately betrayed by Pete Davidson's character, Blackguard, has just informed the military that they were coming for some reason. And I thought that that was actually kind of a plot hole. Because, okay, you give away the info to the military in order to what? Free yourself from prison? Free yourself from Task Force X?
Get himself shot in the
face? You're immediately
going
to get the bomb blown off, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was a callback to the comics, where Blackguard in the comics is just kind of an asshole.
Well, I think that this was part of Amanda Waller's plan.
Of course it was.
Just to sacrifice, because this was like the weaker team. And it had all, like, the shitty heroes on it.
I mean, I guess we don't know. Maybe Amanda told him, like, I'm not going to put a bomb in your neck. You're the real operative. You need to reach out. Yeah, maybe we don't know. I mean, we can speculate ourselves into making anything make sense. But you're right. The movie has a plot hole there. It did not tell us why that made sense and why he didn't just get his head blown off.
Yeah, but also the first comment on the Reddit thread about this movie is, if you didn't like Pete Davidson or came into this movie not liking him, you're going to love this movie.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, well, he immediately gets his head blown off anyway, but by a bullet and not from an embedded bomb.
Nice.
And then things just go worse from there. There's a helicopter shooting at them, and so one villain named Mong Gal, which is like
Gamora.
Orange monster girl. Yeah, Gamora tries to jump on the helicopter and bring it down, which she succeeds in doing, but also dies in the process, and which also sends her, like, helicopter blade debris at Captain Boomerang and kills him, like, immediately. Which, again, like, I was also, as, like, the one likable character from the first movie, I was a little disappointed that he died immediately.
Especially because, like, Captain Boomerang, like, yeah, sure, he's lame, but he's also really cool, and he didn't get a chance to be cool. Like, I don't even remember him using a boomerang in the first movie.
He used a boomerang in one of his 8 origin stories, I think, that occurred. And then at this point of the movie is where they were like, oh my god, we're losing. Send in TDK. And you assume that Nathan Fillion's TDK is going to be sick.
Because it's Nathan Fillion.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can't expect... Like, Nathan Fillion... I feel like he constantly does that. Like, he subverts us in the roles that he gets.
At least he used his power, flew LeBorg's javelin. He didn't, I don't think, threw the javelin one time.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, I was so bummed about Flula. He was, like, all over social media about him being in this movie, and he was in it for so little. He had 3 lines. Like, come on, man.
I mean, his javelin would go on to be a huge point of the movie. To, you know, Harley Quinn, who was getting totally shit on being on this team in the first place.
And I know I'm getting ahead of us, but I like that Harley Quinn thought that he was telling, because he's like, she's trying to remember trying to figure out what he wants her to have the javelin for. And by the end, she's like, I know what it's for now. He wanted me to, I don't know, stab the giant starfish in the eyeball, but I digress.
Yeah.
So did Javelin know about the giant starfish?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, and the hot dog flavored water.
Yeah.
The way they set it up, you think that TDK is, like, going to be their ace in the hole to get them out of this situation. And so he pops off his arms like Buggy the Clown, and you think he's going to, like, grab...
Ridiculous.
Like, maybe He could, like, grab a gun with his floating hand, but no, he just does, like, Three Stooges stuff.
It really did feel like that.
He slaps him real good.
It was kind of like flappy, floppy arms.
Yeah. That can levitate, like, what?
They all get killed. Javelin is shot. Everyone else is shot. They're blown up. The weasel drowned when they first landed. And Rick Flag is pinned down. And so is Harley Quinn, and at that point, Michael Rooker's character just, like, runs away in terror, and because he is going AWOL, Amanda Waller blows his head off, and that's actually, that's the title sequence, is his blood and guts in the sea.
Starting a common thread of the movie
where... Oh, I did like that. I did like it.
Chapters have actual on-screen names made by things in the background. So I thought it was... When Warner Brothers was blood from Michael Brooker's head, I was like, how did they see that and go, that's perfect?
They were into it.
So one thing about... You know, people were saying, oh, we were disappointed with the beginning. Adam brought up that people felt like, you know, it was unfair that characters that they knew and love were treated so callously. I think the whole point of this intro sequence is that the movie is basically inviting you to take on, like, an Amanda Waller mindset of, like, that life is more or less expendable and these people are just blips on a map, and if they die horribly, like, whatever.
Yeah, I think this movie did a really good job showing that side of him. Like, really, they're just tools, and she doesn't care as long as the hammer hits the nail in the end.
And well, then we see the A-team get onto the beach, led by Idris Elba, and you can even tell just kind of looking at them that they seem to have a lot more going on for them, and they can see the explosions happening in the distance, and Amanda Waller just tells them, like, don't worry about that, that's just a diversion I created. And so she really just did kill, like, 10 people just to create a diversion.
So did she out the team with Pete Davidson's character then? Was it intentional?
Yeah, like what Chad said, like, we can infer that, but yeah, it's not stated.
But this team has a huge leg up. This is the whole A team, okay? Idris Elba, Mr. T, Face, Murdoch, Hannibal. How will they lose?
And, well, so then we flash back to a couple weeks earlier, when she's trying to recruit Idris Elba's villain Bloodsport, I'd never heard of him, into the Suicide Squad because he's, like, a really talented killer. And we find out that he's basically Deadshot. Like, he's a mercenary killer for hire, but also has, like, a daughter who he cares about.
Which is just like Deadshot.
Yeah, and then his daughter is used as leverage to get him into the Suicide Squad, just like Deadshot.
The
yeah,
only right. difference is an English accent, and his armor is guns.
Well, he looks like a Destiny character.
The only thing, I don't know anything about DC, not really, but the only thing, I learned this after watching the movie, I guess his character in the comics, he can, like, summon weapons from, like, a pocket dimension, and they kind of give him that ability in a different way, where he's, like, building, he's, like, taking pieces of his suit off, and it looks like weapons are coming from nowhere, but,
yeah, they're,
I mean,
like... They're like Stark's micro beads or whatever the hell they were.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nano technology or whatever.
And then we meet John Cena, which I was surprised we even could see him. Because, you know, when he was waving his hand in front of his face, he should be invisible. Also, this was supposed to be Dave Bautista, but Dave Bautista said no to do Army of the Dead, which we all now know and understand was a mistake.
We talked about this in the Army of the Dead podcast.
I think eventually, though, we got lucky because John Cena in this role is so good. He kind of steals the whole movie.
Oh, yeah. And he's getting a TV show.
Yeah, and this character's getting his own spinoff.
Made by James Gunn.
That's crazy.
Is that confirmed?
Yeah, they already shot it.
In January. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, they knew what they had on their hands before this movie even came out. They're like, yeah, John Cena's going to be the breakout of this. Then we meet King Shark, who is just... Killer Croc, but he's not an alligator, he's a shark.
He's Killer Croc if he was both the Hulk and Groot.
Right. It's a great comedic effect character. Sylvester Stallone does a good dumb voice. Yeah. And the best thing I can say for him is not one time did I think his CGI is bad. It just sort of was kind of perfect in the movie, and it just is like a tent pole of how good CGI is these days.
Yeah, the effects in this movie were really good.
Yeah, in fact, John Cena was completely CGI.
Yeah, that big vein in his arm, it took like 5 days to render.
Like, in life, he's just CGI.
The two metahumans on the team are Ratcatcher 2, who has the power to control rats. And she's very sleepy. She's sleepy and millennial.
She's a millennial.
They keep teasing her about that.
Is she a metahuman, or does she just have the thing she holds?
Who knows? She can talk to that rat.
That's true.
That's not a normal thing.
But I think that the rat is just, like, super smart. Like, I don't feel like she was using any power to control the rat. I think the rat had its own consciousness, which doesn't really make sense. Because she needed that, like, light bulb to do it.
The rat had its own consciousness. That's my band name. No one can take it.
The rat's consciousness?
No, that's worse.
And then we have my favorite character, he's the very shy, unassuming, but like deeply insane polka dot man.
I liked him a lot too.
I liked him, yeah.
So bummed.
Yeah, he's the Eeyore of the team. Yeah. And so, like, clearly they've got like two trained assassins and then two metahumans and a shark monster, and they're just way better equipped than the B team. And so, like, they get on the island no problem. And very quickly, I think they get the mission to head into more or less the capital city. And we see a bit of their team dynamics here. Idris Elba and Peacemaker John Cena hate each other because, I don't know, is that thing where it's like, oh, we're too similar to ever get along.
Competitive rivalry.
While they're camping out, the shark tries to eat the rat girl, but she's not even mad.
She didn't even wake up. She didn't even wake up.
Yeah, she's very sleepy. She's so sleepy that she's not mad.
And then we also see, like, Polka Dot Man wake up in the middle of the night, and there's an interesting body horror sequence where, like, polka dots are growing from and like under his skin. Man.
So good. It looked like he vomited a birthday party. And, like, he has a disease. It's not even a superpower. It's just, like, a virus that he's dealing with.
Oh, yeah, what they call it, an interdimensional or hyperdimensional virus or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a call out to Star Labs, which is from, actually, it's from the Justice League movie, and it's where the Flash is born.
Oh.
His mom, like, was trying to do experiments to turn her kids into superheroes, and apparently a bunch of them died, and he got this, like, weird polka dot disorder.
Listen to James and I do Justice League, where halfway through the 4-part episode about the 4-hour-long Justice League, we give up doing a recap and we just start doing a 2-man show.
Good. I did love that they put his mom as, like, people's face.
Oh,
like,
God, that was so great. I loved that.
Especially
that was
at
so
the
funny.
The very, very end. Like, the giant mom. I was, like, fucking dying.
See, I'm upset that he dies, spoiler alert. Because I want to know more about his character. Like, how did he get in prison? Like,
it's what he wanted, Chad. He said at the beginning he hopes he died. In that moment, we're jumping way ahead, but he's like, I'm a superhero. Murdered.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he died happy, but he also, like, got to realize his dream and then it was immediately killed. I don't know.
No, I 100% agree with you. I think the term died happy is fucking stupid. Like, oh yeah, he was so happy.
He died
that he's
mediocre.
Not
his life was miserable, but he died. He was happy the last 4 seconds.
The next day, as they're trudging through the jungle, they're informed by Amanda Waller that, like, Rick Flag is still alive and he's been captured by a paramilitary organization. And that they need to go rescue him. And what follows is, like, a pretty, like, a really interesting action scene where, like, Bloodsport and Peacemaker are going through the paramilitary camp, just, like, trying to kill people silently, but then also having a competition over who can kill the most people. And it's extremely violent. There's one moment where, like, Peacemaker is just very casually walking by a dude sleeping, and he just hacks him several times with that.
This was my favorite scene in the entire movie, when the end happens and turns out, no, these were the good guys, and you just, like, shot a toaster and put it into a bathtub and killed somebody. Yeah. A person was just doing laundry, and you shot them in the face. And while you were doing, like, a weird version of the Gimli and Legolas thing at Helm's Deep, like, 1, 2, but it said, like, they're not orcs, and they are just, like, the good guys.
See, and I think this shows, because Amanda Waller probably knew that they were the rebels, but she didn't care. She's like, go in, kill everybody, get your guy back. Like, it just shows how she thinks about humanity, how she thinks about these people. It doesn't matter The only thing that matters is the objective, get the guy out.
And of course, like, the leader of the rebel militia is like really upset that they killed so many of her comrades. Right. But Rick Flag's able to like smooth it over, and they're able to work things out. And
yeah, within two yeah, minutes. You know,
how easily able to smooth things out. You killed 20 of my best men and whatever. Our goals align. So
we then get like an extended Harley Quinn sequence. So she's kidnapped on the beach and she's taken to the palace of like the guy who did the coup, more or less. And he has fallen in love with her. Because he knows about her because she's an infamous Batman villain, I guess. And he mistakes like her streak of crime as being like anti-American radical revolutionary violence, which it's not. It's just insane.
She's crazy. Yeah.
Like out of this world insane, self-serving.
Real quick, did any of you guys watch that Birds of Prey movie that came out when no one was paying attention?
No.
I didn't see Girl Deadpool.
Girl Deadpool.
But, I mean, it looks okay.
I mean, I might go and watch it now based on Margot Robbie's performance in this movie. You said that John Cena steals the show. I think that's true to a fault, but I think the highly underrated performance in this movie is a post-breakup Harley Quinn played by Margot Robbie, who is like, obviously the biggest actress in the whole thing, you know, maybe Idris Elba, but she stood out the entire time. And this entire sequence, it was not a subversion. You started from the beginning where you're like, oh, she's captured, but you didn't think for one moment that she was going to need help.
Yeah, no.
Right.
Well, I mean, it helped that in the trailer we saw that they were going to try to save her. We saw the result of this scene.
That's true.
In the
There's
trailer.
Also a very quick scene where we see like the military leadership meeting with the Suicide Squad's target, this scientist named the Thinker, who is the one in charge of whatever research the United States is involved in, and more or less they're like, "You work for us now," and I don't know, he's nothing he can do, so he's like, "I guess I do."
Yeah, and he's played by Peter Capaldi, the recent Doctor Who, and he has a lot of syringes in his head, and it's giant, and he looks insane.
Is that where I know him from Doctor Who?
Probably.
He's the old doctor, right?
Yeah.
Is that
I don't
it?
Like Doctor Who.
I don't know, Chad.
Like,
I'm not
I don't
you.
Know anything about Doctor Who either, but the guy looked so goddamn familiar.
He's Doctor Who.
You know, he looks like that the guy from Epic Rap Battles of History.
Oh my god, he does. Nice Peter.
He really
yeah,
does.
Yeah, nice Peter. He does.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the president takes Harley Quinn around his mansion and shows her his collection of parrots, and he explains that she's so popular down here because I don't know because they hate America and she's killed a lot of law enforcement agents in America, I guess. Like, it's not really that clear.
Maybe we learn more in Birds of Prey.
And he decides like he wants to marry her since she's so popular here, it'll cement his popularity, and she agrees, and they just bang right there on the table, smashing all of his fancy artifacts.
Lighting things on fire.
And after they bang, he then does his evil person monologue, in which monologue he's just like, and, you know, if we need to kill children, then we shall do that as well. More to the Starro Fund. And then turns around and gets shot in the chest, which I assumed something terrible was going to happen to that guy, but not at that moment. And by Harley Quinn immediately. It was actually surprising.
Yeah, I expected right. I expected the Suicide Squad to come in and kill him and be like, "We came to save you," and then she's like, "I didn't need saving." I thought they were going to do that kind of cliche, but no, it was good. And in her monologue, I really liked her monologue about like how she it's a red flag and she has to be true to herself.
Yeah,
it was
like
empowering but also insane.
Well, that's because she just got out of the most toxic relationship in comic book history.
With
the Joker.
With Jared Leto's Joker.
With Jared Leto.
Live fast, die clown, baby.
After she kills him, she's immediately taken in by, like, the other members of the military command. So now, she's, like, back on the radar or whatever, so they give the order to go and rescue her. And so now they need to, like, get basically into the city they have to infiltrate it as civilians, and so they all put on, like, regular clothes. The shark is trying to get a false mustache to disguise the fact that he's a shark.
That was funny.
Shark is fun.
He's Groot Hulk. Think about it.
Oh, absolutely.
We get the tragic backstory of Ratcatcher 2. Her dad was Ratcatcher 1. He was a super scientist, but he got addicted to heroin and it ended up on the streets. But he took some of his super science stuff with him and invented the rat controlling wand, which she now is in possession of.
Right.
She's Ant-Man.
Also, he was played by...
Oh, that's Ant-Man. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
It is sort of Ant-Man. He was played by, you know, Taika Waititi.
He's amazing.
Taika.
I know what it is. What? It was a joke. A bad one, obviously.
I thought you got him and George Takei confused.
That was the joke.
Oh.
He's got such range.
Jokes are always better when you have to explain them.
Well, yeah, I mean, just in case there's any dummies in the audience.
I'm one.
Looking at you, Connor.
Wow, dude, how dare you? Whoa.
Anyway, shout out to Connor. How you doing?
Connor, I'm going to give you Chad's...
Our biggest and dumbest fan.
I'm going to give you Chad's address so you can hurt him physically.
You don't know my address.
I know exactly where you live.
Anyway, back to Taika Waititi. He has such range. He can transcend comic book generations. He is a Marvel man and a DC man.
It sounds like you're about to exhale at the end of that sentence.
He has such rage. So much rage.
Is someone threatening you to compliment him?
He has a gun to your
head.
He's
standing right here.
Why is he in your room?
And can I have an autograph?
Yeah, can I have an autograph? Hey.
The next sequence, I feel like it's just James Gunn dunking on David Ayers, because, like, one of the worst scenes in the 2016 one is where, like, they go to the bar and drink and bond.
Yeah.
And it just stops the movie dead and sucks. But then, like, James Gunn's like, I'll do an interesting version of that.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that scene.
He has a actual grudge against David Ayer. And he was like, I'm gonna fucking knock a bar scene out of the water.
They have a nice time at the bar. Idris Elba's a bit of a stick in the mud because he's concerned with the mission, but Peacemaker's like trying to get everyone to, you know, basically build team building strategies here. And eventually they do run into Thinker, but the security forces arrive as well. And so Cena and Idris Elba sacrifice themselves and are captured by the security detail so that Ratcatcher and Polka Dot Man can get away with the Thinker. And they succeed.
Yay!
This next scene kind of made me sad. Because, like, Flag and Cena and Elba are, like, being taken away in a paddy wagon. And the security detail is, like, being pretty chill to them, more or less. Like, not being a hard ass. And, like, he even gives Idris Elba a cigarette. And then they do, they start discussing this karate technique where if you, you know, smash someone in the nose hard enough, you can instantly kill them. Which I guess is a real thing. I think mostly people are accidentally killed that way in fist fights. It is possible. Like, if your nose bone is hit the wrong way, it'll go up into your brain.
It's literally like 2.5 pounds of pressure. Like, it's nothing. Every UFC fight should end in death.
Oof.
I don't want it to happen, I'm just saying.
It should.
They all headbutt the guards at the same time and insta-kill them. And then John Cena takes one of their guns, and even though he's handcuffed, like, behind the back, shoots the driver through the car wall, like the separating the paddy wagon from the car, and they escape. They flip the van and they get out, and they're back together with the other half of the team, and they have the Thinker now. And so the last thing to do is save Harley Quinn.
James,
mm-hmm.
Why did this scene make you sad?
Just because the guard was like kind of nice to them.
Jesus.
So, well, I mean, the guy was nice to Harley Quinn, but he wanted to murder children.
Yeah, who hurt you?
Right, but this was just a working stiff, like, you know, low-level guard.
Yeah, he was just following orders. We get it.
Yeah, James, also on the Nazi side, understood.
All right. I'd like to get the attention off of me. So, now Harley's being interrogated and tortured by, like, the other general who's in charge now, but she is able to engineer her own escape. And using the javelin, which may or may not be magic, right?
Yeah, I know.
It's not really clear. She does. She cuts her way out of the building with the javelin. We see what it looks like from her perspective, like when she slashes someone with the javelin, like butterflies and hearts shoot out of them instead of blood.
You can say this of James Gunn. He uses the medium to its utmost capacity.
Yeah.
And he does it sometimes in the face of anything. Like he throws logic and making sense out the window because he's like, I'm making a movie. Let's make it cool and colorful and fun.
Yeah. And I wonder, again, I didn't see Birds of Prey, but I wonder if like that art style was a callback to Birds of Prey. Because it seems so intentional. Same, yeah. Yeah, it seems so intentional. And yeah, maybe I'm gonna watch that movie this weekend.
Yeah, let's not bring it up anymore.
None of us have seen it.
I don't plan on watching it.
There's a lot of DC stuff I have not seen. I'm not a DC completionist. I never saw Aquaman. I never saw...
Oh, Aquaman was good.
Shazam.
Shazam was good. I watched
Shazam was really good. And Chad has always been in the side of, you have to watch Aquaman. And I've always been on the side of, no, thank you.
No, it's good, dude.
I know you say that all the time.
There's a comedian I like. Not to just steal content from someone funnier than me, but...
Do it. Do it.
He was saying, like... Him and his friends like got together, you know, during a holiday when people are back in their hometowns, and they were gonna go see Aquaman. And so first they all dropped acid to go see Aquaman.
Wow.
because that was the holiday season, Aquaman was sold out, so they had to go see Coco instead.
Oh my God.
And what happened is they all just got really emotional and started crying.
Well, yeah, that movie is a tearjerker, man.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she escapes just as the Suicide Squad shows up to save her. Her and Flag reunite. You know, they're old friends. They're the only surviving members of the original movie, which may still be canon. It's not clear. Do we think that, guys? Did in the logic of this movie, did the first movie happen?
They asked James Gunn this exact question, and his response was, "The Suicide Squad is its own thing."
Oh, okay.
Okay. But yeah, Rick Flag and Captain Boomerang and...
Happen to be the same exact Harley. People.
Yeah, it was a direct quote from James Gunn. He said thing
with an A.
But
Iron Man 2 is its own thing. It just is also a sequel to Iron Man.
Yeah, it's a deflection of an answer, a not real answer.
A soft reboot, right?
Yes.
Because a soft reboot, it does not borrow any specific plot points from the first one, but nothing in this movie contradicts the existence of the first one.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys remember way back when the Hulk movie came out, not the Incredible Hulk movie that was part of the MCU. Yeah. There was the Hulk movie, and then they made the Incredible Hulk, but they made back then, I mean, now it doesn't stand up, but back then they made a lot of the context vague enough that it could have been like a loose continuation of that story. But now, because we've developed the Hulk so much, it's not.
Right. That's some pussy shit.
Well, you know, they didn't have faith. And then they never made another Hulk movie.
That's because you shouldn't have had faith.
It was.
They made the right choice.
But you gotta have faith. There's a whole song about it.
Chocolate starfish! In the hot dog flavored water!
James, please keep going.
All right, so this all kicks off the third act where they're storming the giant government facility that's holding the top secret military intelligence that they need. When they get there, they start setting up... Well, first there's an action sequence where they break in. Then they're setting up demolition to destroy the building. Meanwhile, Peacekeeper, Ratcatcher, and Idris Elba go to the basement with the Thinker, and it's revealed that, like, actually this research is being done on a giant space starfish named Starro the Conqueror, which is a real DC villain, I have come to understand.
Yeah, there was a mechanized version of it in the Justice League movie, where there was this mechanical star that jumps on someone's face and, like, probes them.
It's one of James Gunn's favorite DC villains from his childhood, and he very purposely put it in this movie, and when you get to the end of its story, it's like also one of the best characters of the movie.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I heard that it was like the first big villain that the Justice League had to fight, which is kind of funny and strange.
So, more or less, the Thinker has been like torturing Starro while also experimenting on innocent civilians, because like Starro lets out these little starfish which take over your brain like a brain slug, and he's been seeing the capabilities of that if they can turn it into a mind control program or something. And he also reveals more or less like the secret reason the Suicide Squad is here is that this was all being done under the direction of, like, I don't know, the CIA or military intelligence or something. And the Suicide Squad here is just here to cover this all up, and that's why they're destroying the building. And this really upsets Rick Flagg, who's like, no, the people need to know the truth. And so he downloads the research data onto a portable hard drive, at which point Peacemaker reveals that he knew this all the time and that he can't allow Rick Flagg to do that because it's compromising the mission, which will compromise peace, which is Peacemaker's whole thing.
He basically closed his eyes, walked up to a wall full of like electronics, and reached in and was like, got it. This is the exact thing I needed, and I know everything about this.
Yeah. Anybody that's ever worked on a computer knows how easy it is to remove a hard drive.
Yeah. No screws at all.
No, none at all. You just yank.
But you're right. You also get the characterization of John Cena's Peacemaker here, where he's just like, I will keep the peace and I will be needlessly violent to do so.
I will keep the peace at all costs.
Yeah. He describes himself as a douchebag version of Captain America.
I really liked this. I liked like the character attack against him. Where they're saying like you're just using peace as an excuse to do whatever the fuck you want, you know. I liked that, the verbal spar against his character before.
That's more James Gunn like military U.S. America critique, basically.
Yeah,
you're just using the concept of protecting everyone to be violent and controlling.
Do we think that the show is going to explore that notion? Like, because it was introduced and then never really paid off.
Yeah, well, I assume we'll see his backstory. We'll see whatever he did to end up wind up in jail, because he was supposed to be a good guy. He's like a Punisher-type good guy.
Well, the Punisher's not a good guy.
Anti-hero.
Yes.
He's like an anti-hero.
He's not a good guy anymore. That's very clear. Also, in the show, he talks about his father in the Suicide Squad, who trained him to be a trained killer, and his father will be in the show. So it will be a re-origin story.
Shway.
How about that macro shot of the piece of toilet going into Flagg's heart? Like, what? I saw that. I'm like, we're not quite there yet. Shit.
That's in a little bit.
Okay, you know, I was feeling it in my heart.
Yeah, how dare you?
No, you jumped ahead and you should be ashamed of yourself.
Meanwhile, the other team, led by Harley and Bloodsport, are setting up the explosives. King Shark finds a room full of alien fish that he falls in love with.
Accurate.
It was great.
And as they're setting up explosions, like, one of the members of the leftist paramilitary group, the one who drives the van, has actually like been with them the whole time, which is something that I noticed too. I was like, oh, this guy's just always here,
just
even though they don't
guy.
Talk to him. And he gets shot and killed by some security guards, which really upsets Polka Dot Man, because it's like, dude, he was like part of the team at this point.
Yeah, that was Milton.
Bloodsport's like, well, I didn't even realize he was still here. And then Harley did not even know the guy's name.
No, but I do think it's a bit of a commentary on like all the red shirts in Star Trek who are just around and they're only there to die. And, you know, Milton was not there to die. He was a valued member of the group. And then when he died, half the team was like, oh, we liked Milton.
Polka Dot Man responds by shooting some of his destructive polka dots at the security guards, but he accidentally hits one of the pieces of plastic explosive, which then starts a chain effect of blowing them all up and bringing the building down, including that tank full of the alien fish, which were cute, but now that they're free, they're, like, trying to kill King Shark.
They're like Metroids, yeah.
As it's coming down, they haven't killed Starro yet, so he, like, more or less gets free. Rick Flagg and Peacemaker are fighting over the drive. It's a pretty brutal fight where you think, like, several times Rick Flagg like has the upper hand, but it's just like really hard to kill Peacemaker.
It reminded me of an Invincible fight, the Amazon cartoon show.
Yeah.
Because in that show, things would happen to characters and you'd be like, oh, that person's dead. Or their face is never going to be the same. Like in most entertainment, there is violence that you always feel like someone will be able to just be how they looked before, but Invincible is not that way, and this fight wasn't that way either. This is all leading to John Cena stabbing Rick Flag in the heart.
Mortal Kombat style.
Yeah, it fatality. Really fatality.
Were you more mad, Adam, that Rick Flag died than the first 5 minutes of the movie or not?
Yes. I didn't expect it to happen, honestly. I didn't expect him to kill him. Like I knew
I didn't
that they were gonna
to care.
Yeah, that too. I didn't expect to care.
It turns
but
out
no,
I cared.
Like it was like this just reasoning as to why he wanted to take it, right. You know, take it. But
can you imagine if Joel Kinnaman had died in the 2016 Suicide Squad, would you even have blinked? Like,
no.
Yeah.
No. Honestly, I thought he did.
I think it happened because it happened right after he had like that, you know what, fuck it, I'm doing the right thing now. Right. I'm so sick of covering up their bullshit. Like it happened right after like his like come to Jesus moment. And then so he was like standing up for something that he believed in.
Right.
And I just want to make one shout out to that scene where like they're fighting and you're watching it in the reflection of the helmet.
Oh yeah,
so good.
Yeah, that was a good scene.
I want to know how they did that or if it was just all CG.
I think they made the helmet in a way that had like angles that one hid the camera. They did it multiple times and layered on top. But I agree with you. I want a behind the scenes of that exact shot. It was so
of
stupid
just, like,
good.
That shot, yeah.
He does eventually kill Rick Flag.
What?
Ratcatcher 2 witnesses it and grabs the drive, and then she runs away, and Peacemaker eventually catches up with her, knocks the rat-controlling thing out of her hand, and she's like, well, you can just destroy the drive, you don't have to kill me, and he's like, well, no, because you still know what happened, so I have to cover up the truth as
thorough.
Best as I can.
Well, yeah. I don't think it's even that. I think that was him that was confirming to the audience what he was saying. You just want to do bad things in the name of good.
Oh.
Yeah, he just wants to hurt people.
Yeah.
He gets off on it.
You're a doucher. Also, the last third of the movie, I think, is almost completely carried by Ratcatcher 2's face. Like the emotions on her face.
Oh,
she's such
great.
A good actress.
Yeah, she's really
good. Yeah, she did really good. I agree.
She is rescued at the last second by Bloodsport.
Yeah, he like aristocrats down, or aristocats.
Yeah, that was funny.
Well, actually, Peacemaker, I think, you know, he doesn't want to... I think he felt like he could reason with Rick Flag. He feels like he can reason with Idris Elba, maybe. But, like, nobody's agreeing with him. And so they do a Mexican standoff, and they shoot each other at the same time. And Idris Elba's bullet goes through Peacemaker's. I thought maybe Peacemaker's is a hollow point and his was a solid. Is that what happened?
It was a callback to the smaller bullet conversation they had earlier.
Okay.
And also it was, I really liked it a lot because it was like they were staring down Amanda Waller. It was just a proxy for Amanda Waller and John Cena's Peacemaker being like, well, yeah, you know about Starro, and you're going to tell people, so you have to die. That's just the way it goes. And it was a complete, like, in-person understanding that all the characters have made a decision in their minds that they're not evil, or they don't want to be evil, even if they didn't believe they were in the first place. But, like, they don't want to be anti-heroes. They want to actually do something that's not what John Cena is doing.
So John Cena gets shot in the neck. He goes down. Starro then emerges from the depths of the lab.
He's a big boy. Big boy.
Takes possession of the entire island nation's military. They now all have starfishes on their heads like the facehuggers from Alien.
There's a kaiju up in this bitch.
So can you guys explain something to me? So,
sure.
So in the footage that they were looking at, he was small. So by putting the face suckers on the people, he gets bigger.
Yes, they. I
no,
think
no,
they
no.
Did,
I think
they
I think
did say something about its size, like it grew
I think
in
he said
size.
When he absorbs people.
Yeah.
If he eats somebody, he'll get bigger.
So the face sucker things, they are just temporary while he's eating them.
Yeah, that's just how he makes his foot soldiers.
No, he just drank a lot of milk, Chad. That's why he's bigger now.
We get the cool title sequence, Suicide Squad versus Starro the Conqueror.
Very Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
I liked it.
So who's the real conqueror, though? Kang. Starro or Kang?
It's Kang. Starro doesn't want this goddamn life.
He was happy. We find out.
The Suicide Squad, what's left of them at least, it fights off being possessed by the starfish. There's a funny sequence where, like, the starfish keep trying to latch onto King Shark's face,
oh, yeah,
but it's
I
just
love
too
that.
Big.
It's just, like, flapping noises.
And so the army of starfish heads and Starro takes off towards the center of the city, at which point Amanda Waller chimes in and says, okay, mission complete. Please go move to the extraction zone. We've already covered up America's involvement, and so we're done here.
The thing that she's been preaching the entire time, which is not only are you expendable, but when everything is over, you get to leave now. And the people on that island, I don't give a shit about.
Right. I think they said the destruction of this rebel nation would be considered a net positive for the United States or something. Like it was really bleak.
So Bloodsport decides, like, he's had enough of this, and he thinks about his own daughter and what she would think of him if he just walked away and let all these innocent people die when they could have done something about it. And he starts to walk in the direction of Starro. All the other characters go with him, and Amanda Waller flips the switches in order to detonate the bombs in their heads, but the rest of, like, the Task Force X HQ mutinies her, and the second in the command hits her with a golf club and knocks her out before she could do it. But crucially, she did not see it happen. She didn't know who hit her.
It was a stand up in the theater and clap moment, I think, which you don't do because that's rude. But, like,
yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, no, that's
we'll
just
that
not nice.
Endgame.
Well, that's because Endgame is Endgame. You can do whatever. when
you're
everyone,
allowed to emote.
When
100%
of people are crying, you get to do whatever you want to do. But yes, she gets knocked the fuck out. And in Idris Elba's head is Amanda Waller's earlier sentence, which is like, I'm gonna make a leader out of you. And that's how Amanda Waller talks. And Idris Elba's like, fuck, I am a leader. Fuck.
So in the big final fight with Starro, first of all, Starro just makes it to the city and takes over anyway.
Did you guys think it was convenient that none of the face suckers even really tried to get any of the main characters?
Well, no, they did, and Idris Elba was like shooting them with his gun, but I'm like, dude, put on your helmet.
It smashed.
Yeah, his helmet
never
broke.
Puts it back on.
His helmet
fucking smashed. But I get what you're saying. Yes, yeah. It is convenient that not one, like it should have, at least one of them should have landed on Ratcatcher 2 and, like, Shark should have pulled it off or something.
And, like, zero other people thought to cover their face. Like, just put your hand on your face.
I don't know, Chad. I don't think you can be judging people who are getting hit by, like, 60 to 100 mile per hour starfish in the air. That's not something that you usually, like, prepare yourself for.
Apocalyptic raining of starfish.
All the main characters were able to get away. Even, like, the Spot guy got away.
Well, they're superheroes, Chad.
No, they're not.
Yeah,
they're specifically not that.
Well, Polka Dot Man. Polka Dot Man is at the end, okay?
So the fight with Starro begins. Polka Dot Man deals a pretty good blow to Starro's foot, imagining it's a giant version of his abusive mother.
Hilarious. Good shit.
And as we mentioned earlier, you know, he has this one victorious moment and then is immediately crushed.
Sad. Sad shit.
I really hope that that actress is like one of the extras in Justice League at Star Labs.
Yes.
That would be great.
At which point, things are looking bad for Bloodsport. But Ratcatcher 2, inspired by a memory of her father, Taika Waititi, saying, like, if a rat can have a purpose, then we all can.
He's French?
Yeah, he was.
He was French?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was? I didn't even catch that.
Yeah.
How dare you
home
ask that three
home
times?
Of Ratatouille.
Oh, I didn't even catch that he was French.
He was French,
Adam. Adam looking at the Eiffel Tower in the background, he's like, this could be anywhere.
I didn't even see that.
The rats deal a substantial amount of damage, at which point Harley Quinn, with Javelin, jumps into Starro's eye in a pretty gross sequence and plunges into it.
Before that, they tell King Shark, Hulk smash. Like, it's the exact same scene. And he jumps up and goes and tries to eat.
Yeah, he did just all of a sudden have the ability to jump really high.
Yeah, like that. Never shown that power before. Yeah. This fish.
He is
this fish man has jump superpowers.
He's the progeny of a god, so he has those hidden powers apparently. Yeah, so the Starro guy, Conqueror Star, is off balance because Polka Dot Man took off one of the legs. Harley Quinn jumps through the center of Starro's eyeball, which made me like go, oh fuck, I hate that. And Ratcatcher makes all the rats go inside Starro and eat him from the inside out. A side note, Bloodsport does not like rats, so when rats are just like walking over him, the song being played
pouring is by over him.
Yeah, the song being played is by the composer of the movie, and it's called Rattism.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought that that scene was like beautifully disgusting.
Yes, oh, yeah. Yes. And what made it gross to me is that she jumped in, was swimming around, and her fucking eyes were open in the eye goo of the starfish.
Like, well, she probably never needed to blink. It's all the eye goo, you know?
Yeah, so it's natural. Yeah. It's a natural one.
Her eyes were very, very wet.
Yeah. But he was French? Still didn't catch that.
Oh, no.
The sequence ends, and Idris Elba gets on the horn with Amanda Waller and says, I still have the drive here with me. I'm not going to release it to the press. However, this is now my leverage over you. The three of us left alive, and King Shark now, I guess, you have to go let this monster loose in the wild, are now free from jail, and if you should ever try to betray us...
I didn't
us,
think of that at all. Sorry.
Should you ever try to betray us... King right. He's going to be out in Hawaii, like, eating people.
Yeah, like he was going to eat his friends. Like, he's not safe in public.
I look forward to a shot of King Shark in like a sandals pool at the swim up bar having a Mai Tai and then turning around and chopping somebody's head off and everybody running away. Be like, okay, this is the life.
Bloodsport's daughter sees on TV that like a bunch of heroes defeated Starro and she's like, hey, it's my dad.
This is bullshit. That part is bullshit. That is a straight ripoff of the masterpiece that is Armageddon. Where the astronaut comes back.
Ryan likes Armageddon.
Because it's a masterpiece. Okay? Michael Bay's greatest work.
My bags are packed. I'm ready to go.
I'm Ben Affleck. And I'm singing Jefferson Airplane. Yeah.
I hate to wake you.
Okay. Keep going, bitch.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a bad movie.
I love that movie. Anyway, that's my daddy. Eyes. Yeah, that. Who's that guy? That is your dad.
I don't want to fall asleep.
Bruce Willis died for this.
And there's a funny sequence where, you know, Idris Elba, who knew Rick Flagg when they were in Special Forces together, shares a moment with Harley Quinn where they're like kind of grieving him. And she's like, well, I could be your friend, Winston. And he's like, that's not my name. She's like, is it not?
Milton.
Didn't we just talk a big Milton? Didn't we have a big conversation about how you were Milton? And like, obviously, Polka Dot Man is dead now. He can't chime in. Like,
yeah. Oh,
do we ever learn his character's name?
He's got a canon name from DC, Polka Dot Man.
But do they ever? No, not Polka Dot Man. Bloodshot. Do we ever learn his name?
Yeah,
in
his
name's
Robert Dubois.
Also, his name is Bloodsport. Yeah.
Bloodsport. Bloodshot. Yeah,
Bloodshot.
What did I say? Bloodshot.
That is what you said.
Bloodshot eyeballs.
Bloodshot starfish eyeball.
The day is saved. They're all free. James Gunn has spun a turd into gold. In an after credit scene, the weasel wakes back up, not actually dead.
Thank
Christ. And then also Peacemaker is being recovered and treated by the U.S. military.
Yeah, because he has a TV show.
Yeah.
So the show is going to be a sequel?
Sequel, or... prequel, who knows?
Yeah, flashbacks.
Whatever, I'll tell you. I'm on board for whatever.
Yeah, James Gunn just started writing it during quarantine. Without actually saying to WB that he was writing it. And then at the end, he was like, I wrote this. Can I make it? And then Walter Hamada was like, you can do whatever the fuck you want, man.
I hope that we get more like cross-pollination between the Marvel and DC verse. I want everyone to play nice together. I feel like we're going to get better stories. We're going to get better movies.
I agree with Chad, but like I did not like Loki and I did not like Black Widow, but like I did like this, And I did like Joker and some other DC, like the Harley Quinn
Joker
cartoon was
not
also
part
quite good.
Of the DCEU.
It's still
the Harley
DC
Quinn
property.
What?
The Harley Quinn TV show, the Harley Quinn cartoon show.
Yeah, starring Kaley Cuoco, who did a great job.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
And the thing is, like, I always thought DC sucked, even since I was a kid. But, like, now it's like they're turning it around. Because, like, I think I don't have superhero fatigue, but I have, like, super safe Marvel formula fatigue.
For sure. Yeah, they need to change. I agree. They need to break out of their comfort zone a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I loved this movie. I'm down for whatever's next. I'll see any rated R comic book movie.
The sure. Homicide yeah. Squad. Apparently, Kevin Feige is fighting Disney to try to allow for more rated R Marvel movies.
Is Deadpool going to be R?
Deadpool is going to be R. That's confirmed.
Yeah.
His movie made more than Jesus.
Jesus didn't make a lot of money. That was like his whole thing.
I don't think we need to do a sequence where we sit, because I think it's pretty clear we all really liked it and would recommend it, right?
Yeah.
But I would like to do a quick reading series very, very quickly. I want you guys to go into this one blind. I'm going to read a couple paragraphs.
I'll take off my glasses.
But first, I want you to listen to this and try to wonder who wrote this and what are they writing about, okay?
Yeah.
It starts.
Why did you clear your throat? You've been talking for an hour.
Resetting his uvula.
For the gravitas.
When we say who said it, are we said like famous person, or are we supposed to guess like you know, Jack Milton?
It was James.
Yeah, right.
This is my manifesto. No, okay, just listen. Just listen. My turn, ... I don't know what quit is, and I'm not who you think I am. Nothing in my life was handed to me. It's been a struggle from the jump. My pops committed suicide Christmas morning when I was 4 in Miami, and that was just the beginning. Foster care, abuse, disruption, chaos. I went to more schools than I can count. What stability? I was in South LA doing hood rat shit as a kid, got arrested. LA County probation forever, had to take the bus to Crenshaw and exposition to see the gang lady twice a month, but that didn't stop me from doing a lot of stupid and dangerous shit. I was the kid everyone knew was just going to end up dead or in prison, and I was in the right hood for it. I seen bodies, blood, heads busted open, watched people die, stepped over brains on the sidewalk to catch my bus, been shot at more times than I can remember, got my ass beat by the LAPD. So I joined the Navy and served on a nuclear submarine, and I saw more. And experienced things that seared my soul. Try 67 days underwater in a steel tube when you're running out of food.
Donald Trump.
So who wrote this, and what is this actually about, do you guys think?
I feel like I've heard it before. Is that possible?
He's in the Navy.
It's impossible.
It sounds like a douchey thing Jeremy Renner would write.
Oh, do you give up?
Yeah. It's not Donald Trump?
So this is David Ayres.
Oh my god.
This
Christ.
Is the beginning of his letter about release the Ayres cut.
Oh my god.
Suicide Squad.
What a tool bag.
All right.
Great.
It keeps going. I'm going to skip it a little bit. I put my life into Suicide Squad. I made something amazing. In a certain respect, yeah.
Amazingly
well, I heard that like they did complete a movie, like two versions of a movie, and nobody liked either one of them when they tested it in theaters. So then they like did a bunch of reshoots and like merged them, and then like nobody liked it more. And then they just released it because they got sick of spending money on it.
It's okay. He's going to hit it out of the park with Bright 2.
Oh,
Bright
wow.
sucked. Oh, I watched Bright with Chad.
There's another Bright coming out.
Yeah, I mean, like it was one of the most watched Netflix things of all time.
Really?
Will Smith, baby.
I made something amazing. My cut is intricate and emotional journey. Yeah, he's missing an article there. It should be a emotional journey. My cut is intricate and emotional journey with some quote-unquote bad people who are shit on and discarded, parentheses, the theme that resonates in my soul. The studio cut is not my movie. Read that again. And my cut is not.
Did he tell us to read
cut.
That again?
Yes, read it again. The studio
cut David
is
Ayres.
Not my
movie. I'm not gonna. I barely wanted to read that the first time.
And my cut is not the 10 weeks director cut. It's a fully mature edit by Lee Smith, standing on the incredible work by John Gilroy, and it's all Stephen Price's brilliant score with not a single radio song in the whole thing.
I don't like James Gunn.
Not a single radio song is what he said.
Because yeah. The first one has like 100. The studio cut.
And also, it sounds kind of like he just figured out the radio was invented. Hey, by the way, Rick Flagg in the first one was going to be played by Tom Hardy, who dropped out to do The Revenant.
Wow.
Does anybody else think of Ric Flair every time someone says Ric Flag?
Yes. Woo!
That needs to be on the list of history's greatest calls right there. It has a traditional character arcs. Again, learn to write. David Ayers is a professional writer. Amazing performances. A solid third act resolution. A handful of people have seen it. If someone says they have seen it, they haven't.
Oh.
God, so unhinged.
Professional writer. So yeah, should be clear by now. I dant with an A. Have any quit in me?
So he was definitely like drunk on something.
Did you guys remember the Enchantress is in that movie?
Oh yeah.
She's terrible.
Unreal, dude.
So yeah, should be clear by now. I dant have any quit in me. Never have. And why should I? Every day breathing is a gift, and I though my story was. He's a writer.
Where did you find
Training Day? He wrote Training Day. It's on his Twitter.
Oh,
you can tell that he was like feverishly writing this. Like his thumbs were pushing through the glass. He had to get a new iPhone after this.
I though my story was going to end in a grave or a cell long ago. So these I'm living are bonus rounds.
Jesus.
Wow.
I'm so honored and blessed to have the career I do. Quit? After my kids watched me come home every day after the studio takeover of the edit with my heart torn out, who would I be to them if I quit? I've never told my side of the story, and I never will. You just did.
You just Why? Did. This is what you're doing right now.
It sounds like this was like a big passion project for him. Is that the case?
He dumped it.
Oh, man.
I've never told my side of the story, and I never will. Why? Same reason no one will ever know what happened on that summer.
What? No one wants to know what happened on that submarine.
What?
I keep my covenants. I'm old school like that. So I kept my mouth shut and took the tsunami of criticism. Why? That's what I've done my whole life. Real talk, I'd rather get shot at.
Oh, fuck you. You are on 18 out of 20 tweets, you fucking asshole.
I'm so proud of James Gunn and excited for the success that's coming. I support WB and I'm thrilled for the franchise is getting the legs it needs. I'm rooting for everyone, the cast, the crew. Every movie is a miracle, and James's brilliant work will be the miracle of miracles.
What?
No, he doesn't. Again, he missed. He another typo. And James apostrophe S and James' brilliant work will be the miracles of miracles. I appreciate your patience. I will no longer speak publicly on this matter. Again, guys, the importance of just like when you write something down that you're going to show people, just take another look at it. Just read through it once.
Yeah, put the phone down, give it some time, look around, see who fucking asked.
It was written like my dad who like doesn't know how to text and, you know.
A random thumb up emoji.
Meanwhile, Warner Brothers has said definitively, but I mean, they said this before, the air cut is not happening. But they said the same thing about the Snyder Cut, so.
Right, so we just need 3 years of harassment to WB, and then they'll release it.
Right. I'm sure, there, I gotta believe the DC fanboys are probably on Twitter sending death threats to people. Release the air cut. You don't know what happened on that submarine.
Jesus.
We're all bubbleheads now.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is crazy to think, when you read that letter, you think about the other movies that David Ayer wrote. He wrote Training Day, which is an amazing movie. If you haven't seen it, you should, because it's really good.
Oh, it's a great movie.
But yeah, that's David Ayer.
Losing his fucking mind.
I don't know
mind.
What he really said in that letter. Like,
tipping him over the
edge. Apart from that the air cut is out, that it exists.
I would say that he was trying to tell his story, but he very explicitly said that he will not tell his story.
Right,
so
it couldn't have been
his
story.
Mixed signals.
The story is that he has a story.
I cannot believe that his announcement of the air cut begins with like I have killed and done heroin and something horrible happened to me on a submarine. Anyway, Warner Brothers really betrayed me about Suicide Squad. Like.
Yeah, I'm sure the tons of money he made from it. Even a failure, he still made a ton of money.
Yeah, but he dan't have any quit in him.
He dan't have any quit. That sounds like a uncle, like a drunk uncle from Alabama. You don't have any quit in
you. Yeah, you know, James, it's really not nice that you're making fun of someone's accent.
And I also like the idea that J-A-M-E apostrophe S sounds like James, right? Like if you sound it out. Oh, that's James' movie.
Maybe he's got a friend. Maybe he has a friend named James, and it just autocorrected to James with an apostrophe.
Yeah, that's incredibly relatable. People having friends named James. Okay, thank you for joining us at the Suicide Squad. The patrons who helped put this together are as follows. New patron, Connor O'Dowd, who Chad is going to physically fight, and Connor's going to beat you up, dude. Yeah, and Jamie sure. Lochner, Anthony Wells, Dave and Levin Podcast, James Watch My Dong, Atheist is Unstoppable, Chris Wood, Brinkin, Dave Levin Westworld, Craig, John Jers, Major Woody, and Carol Andreas. Thank you very much for the money that you give us, and you are supporting the show, and the audio hosting just renewed, so your money went there, and that's how we're on the internet.
You didn't do SoundCloud again, did you?
I didn't purposely do it. I forgot what day it was, and it renewed. We're in there for another year, baby. When I saw the charge, I was also disappointed.
Wow, well-oiled machine.
These guys over here.
Next week, Marvel, What If? And then the other Adam and I are going to record another Horror Boys movie.
You should call it the Horror Boys for sure.
The Horror B.O. Boys.
Do you have body odor? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, B.O. Boys.
I mean, I don't know about him, but I kind of do. Yeah.
Sure.
Right now. You don't know what happened on that submarine, Ryan.
No, but seriously, he was French?